It's July 4th, 2013. This is Last Time on Video Games, a podcast about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. This is episode 20, Go Big or Respawn. Runtime for this is 48 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast about video games and terrible baseball games. See, you don't know if we're talking about terrible baseball video games or if we're just going to have a big thing on some terrible ball games we've seen lately.
Well, there was this one game where this guy, like, hit a ball, and then this other guy caught it, and then the ump called it not an out, and it was like, whoa. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
Hey, Tyler, remember that time we, like, re-recorded five times because I kept saying I wanted to go first, and you kept going first?
Yeah.
I see you did that again with Zach this time.
Well, he was messing with the shades, so I guess we could start over. Well, yeah.
There are no...
Yeah, totally. There are, like, pieces of a shade right down there.
Okay, I think that's actually house siding.
Well,
fiddling with it.
You were totally fiddling with it.
No, I wasn't.
So what video games have you been fiddling with, Zach?
I have been playing StarCraft II.
Naughty.
Still. And I am going not to acknowledge that remark. I have made it up to Silver League. I think I'm in the top 8. I'm at least in the top 25 of the Silver League I'm in.
That's actually fairly impressive.
Not
However,
really.
By commenting that you weren't going to acknowledge it, you acknowledged it. Logic. Anyway, continue.
Do not bounce a ping pong ball on my podcast, boy.
I wouldn't be bouncing it. I'd be hitting Tyler in the face with it.
Now, see here, boy. Back when I was recording podcasts.
Anyway, I've been playing a lot of StarCraft 2, mostly multiplayer, and I'm realizing just how bad I am at that game. Like I said, I managed to get up in the Silver League, but that's not really an achievement.
You can take solace in the fact that you're better than me.
That's not a very high bar to jump. That's like somebody laid a hurdle down and said, all you got to do is get over this.
So, since you're no good at StarCraft 2, what have you been playing?
Actually, not as much as I would have liked to. I've been playing a little bit of Minecraft, like maybe an hour over the course of the last week. A fair amount of Burnout 3, actually. I was playing Terranigma, but I kept having not enough time to get back into Terranigma. So I played Burnout, and now I'm just playing Burnout instead, so I'm not really sure why, even though Terranigma is an awesome game. Also, a lot of Oracle of Ages, and by that I mean Seasons.
Have you finished Ages and are going on to Seasons, or playing Seasons first?
I'm playing Seasons first. I couldn't really randomly decide, so I just chose Seasons first.
Yeah,
so.
Seasons was the first one I played as well.
Because it comes first in the alphabet? If you're saying it backwards. If you've been stopped by a police officer and are having to say the alphabet backwards, Seasons comes first.
You know, I have a hard time saying the alphabet backwards sober.
I know, that's probably would be my response if I ever got pulled over for that. It's like, I can't do that sober. Why would I be able to do it drunk?
I remember seeing a video once of this guy doing a bunch of roadside sobriety tests, and he like did like a pirouette and stuff and did all this stuff the cop asked and was perfect. She's like, wow, that was actually really impressive. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't have even done those sober. And she's like, ah, and he's like, ah, you got me.
Wah, wah, wah.
So, yeah, I think the game that I've dumped the most time into recently has been Oracle of Seasons.
I've been starting a lot of games and not getting very far in them. I watched a lot of esports, which might tie into our game. The League of Legends season started back up, and they had like 20 games, and I watched like 15 of them.
Wow.
Does coaching my crappy games count as an esport?
Kind of. Yeah, I've given Zach some feedback on some StarCraft games.
Well, it's kind of like the kindergarten soccer league.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm hoping to upgrade to that one day.
No.
You're out of bronze league.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
slightly better than
true.
That. You're not like, how do I ball? I forgot how to soccer. So.
Yeah. You know, you can't use your hands. So I bought Mega Man 2, but haven't started it yet. Instead, I played some more Mega Man X while I was listening to the podcast, because that game is really good.
It is. How far have you gotten in it, Edgar?
I beat it once, and this is my second playthrough, and I beat Chill Penguin, Boomer Kawanger, Flame Mammoth, and I feel like one of the others.
Are you doing it in the same order?
No.
Okay. Say, I've played that game so much now that I don't do it in the weakness order anymore. I just choose whichever one I randomly feel like.
That's what I'm doing this time. I did Chill Penguin first to get the dash boots because I got them super late my first playthrough.
And they're super useful.
They are.
They should just appear on whatever stage you play first, I think. But
that is one of my few problems with the game, but I'm sure we'll play that as an assignment, so
we'll
definitely get to that later. So not playing Mega Man 2. And then I kickstarted the Kingdom of Loathing guy's new game a while ago, Word Realms. and that came out, but I haven't been playing it because of my computer problems. But it totally doesn't require a mouse at all, so I started that. It's a kind of RPG, but the combat is turn-based, but it's Scrabble style. You have a letter tiles, and you have to make a word, and the damage you deal depends on the word you make and your equipment. And then you have, like, spells, so if you cast Fireball and then do a fire-related word, it does double damage.
That actually sounds pretty awesome. This reminds me of something, and I can't for the life of me remember what it is. It was an RPG where you had, like, three main characters, and then their storylines intersected after you played each of them individually. But the main thing about the game that was awesome is that spells were made by actually typing out words. So you could assign, like, six spells, and depending on what word you said, it had different effects. So, like, one of the special words was Tiller, which caused a giant earthquake, or there's, like, Mega Oh My Godness, which I think might have actually been the name of the spell. There are certain, phonemes that you could put in that would affect the power of the spell. It was a neat concept. I can't remember what it's called, though.
And it's kind of cool. Word Realms is $11 if you want to support that.
That does sound pretty awesome. Scrabble battles.
And you, like, have thieves who will steal some of your tiles from you as one of their special abilities.
Can you steal theirs?
I haven't been able to yet, but I haven't gotten very far. I made my character and did the first zone, and that was about it. My, like, only special ability was Stomp, which destroyed three of their tiles randomly.
Which could be potentially useful. You might accidentally screw over all their vowels or something.
Yeah. Well, the undead have an ability called Boo, which turns all your vowels into O's.
Oh, that's actually pretty neat.
So yeah, I watched my brother play a little Kingdom Hearts.
Fair enough. First one or second one?
Second.
Okay.
Because he was super excited by the trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3.
I didn't actually watch the trailer, I just saw that they announced it.
It was not that exciting.
Fair enough.
Disney characters will be in it again. That's like the big...
Meh.
Whoa. Yeah. No way. Yeah, see, I never actually played that game because it had Disney characters. I played that game because it was just fun to play.
Yeah.
Never played it. Never had a desire to play it.
It's pretty fun.
Probably will never play it.
Fair enough. Did you like Devil May Cry?
It's alright. I haven't gotten very far in either one I've played.
Fair enough. It plays a lot like Devil May Cry. Except with more random explosions. Fewer guns, more explosions.
And then, mostly because of the assignment, I played a little more Mario Super Sluggers. I've never played the campaign before, which is interesting. It's really basic early on, and really like, hey, let's teach you how to play, but I already know. But that's alright.
Yeah, I could see that being annoying, though, if you ever wanted to play the campaign more than once.
Yeah.
I think we had this discussion on air before.
We did.
But on how to do tutorials.
That's another thing that Mario RPG did right. They let you choose if you wanted the tutorial for everything.
No,
that's actually
did.
A pretty good idea.
I feel like there's something I'm forgetting, but I can't think of what, so it must not have been important. Oh, I put Mario Galaxy 2 in my Wii. I didn't play it, though.
Fair enough. Oh. Did you create your headship at all, or...?
No, I didn't even start it up. So, like I said, I'm watching some League of Legends, probably more than I should have, but it was a big week, and I wanted to see how everything shook up, since one of the new teams is face-rolling and went 5-0.
Wow.
The best... Two other teams went 3-2, and are tied for second. But that was exciting to watch. Everyone's like, yeah, they're overhyped. They're not going to do that well.
And then they did.
Yeah, TSM, who are my team and won the last playoffs, did well against them.
Your team is TSM?
Yep, Team Solo Mid.
Team Solo Mid.
That's the one I watch, because there's no geographic separation other than America, Europe, Korea, China.
I hear TSM, and I instantly think something entirely different.
What? Out of curiosity, because I don't know what you're thinking of.
I play Battletech. TSM in Battletech is triple strength Myomer.
Oh, okay.
Speed and additional melee damage.
So that's one of the things I'd always found amusing about, I guess, real sports, is that the team you root for is almost inherently tied to where you happen to live.
Or it depends on whether or not your family comes from there.
Yeah.
Because, like, take me. I'm a Green Bay Packers and Denver Broncos fan. Denver Broncos because I lived here my entire life, and Packers because that's what my dad's a fan of.
Yeah, I find it amusing that this is how this works.
Europe has that for League of Legends because they have a Gambit Gaming is almost entirely Russian. The Copenhagen Wolves were entirely Danish. Evil Geniuses were mostly French. But it gave a lot of people saying that gives them a disadvantage in All-Stars because they're all speaking English to each other, which is none of their first language.
They're not allowed to speak their own language
to
each
other? Well, they could have, but at the All-Star game, you have a guy from the French team, two guys from the Russian team.
Oh, okay.
A guy from the German team.
Okay.
Was it just generic Europe team? Is that how that works?
Yeah, the All-Stars was picked from the European League and the American League and the Korean OGN.
Yeah, that makes sense because that's how they do it in every other sport that has an All-Star game.
Yeah, it just seems, I guess Europe's not that big by comparison to America. We have a huge amount of land
mass. That depends on how you define Europe, which is a constant question. Do you include Russia in Europe?
No, I include that as part of Eurasia. They apparently don't.
Yeah, but... and Gambit, which is formerly Moscow 5, is in the European League.
That just seems... like, I could think of, like, you know, there's a German league, but Germany's really only about, I think I calculated, 2.5 times the size of Colorado, so I don't think there are that many players to form their own league.
At least theirs isn't on fire.
That is true. It will never catch on fire. Germany's very wet.
So anyway, speaking of sports, what do you think about sports games? And I don't mean esports. I mean games based on the footballs and the baseballs and the basketballs and the hockeys and the shuffle puts.
The shuffle puts.
And the archeries.
I have generally had about as much fun with them as I do with actual sports.
It's a lot.
So not a whole lot. But I guess I do watching actual sports. I prefer if I'm going to be doing something sport-esque. They're not complicated enough to really get my interest unless I'm physically doing them. As a video game, I find they generally don't translate super well.
Didn't you say one of your most played games of all time was MLB Baseball on the Super Nintendo?
I did, but that's because I was really into baseball back then. I'm not anymore, so.
There's a lot of, like, strategy and stuff that goes on when you're watching it, if you know what you're watching for.
Quite possibly.
Granted, if you're watching American League Baseball, that's not going to happen. But...
this is not the podcast about which league of baseball is superior. You know, hey. I agree with you, and I am vetoing your conversation.
I wasn't going to go in any farther than that. That was
veto.
That was it. You're
veto.
Holding it longer than this.
Veto!
I veto your veto.
You can't do that. I quit.
I'm the... Wait, what? Ah! The legislative branch impeached the executive branch. I win. Next time on Tyler's Super Awesome Podcast of Fun.
I do have an available thing to throw at you. Just saying.
So, mutinies aside... what other sports games have you played? I played a lot of Madden 2002 and have Madden 2013, by which I mean Zach's basement has Madden 2013.
I was actually starting to wonder when you were going to pick that up again.
I've never played a football game. I feel like I played a hockey game. Oh, I played like NBA Jam or something. That was pretty decent.
I know I had football on the NES, and I'm pretty sure I had baseball as well, but I only vaguely remember both of them.
I find it really funny that they're just called football and baseball.
It's awesome.
Blitz.
Blitz 2000 is the first sports game I really played, and that's a ton of fun.
So I mentioned NBA Jam. It's kind of like the basketball equivalent of Blitz. You catch on fire and shoot flaming baskets.
Right?
Yeah.
I watched a short Let's Play of it. It looked pretty decent.
Yeah, they had another game recently for baseball that was basically the Blitz of baseball called...
Good title, bro.
I can't think of the title now. Holy crap.
I'm wondering how much of that silence we're going to leave in there as we stare expectantly at Zach.
What the hell is that called?
You know, I don't mind sports games if they're really arcadey like that, because I feel like being in a video game, if you're just simulating a sport that you can play in real life, that's kind of missing the point of being a video game. You can do anything.
My first video game sports game that I really remember was Blitz, and then Mario Tennis.
Yeah, and both of these are... not actual sporty enough that I think they can be amusing outside of the merit of just being a sport.
Well, they're both games. They're both concerned more with what's fun than accurate representations of football and tennis.
Quite. Well, then there's Zach, who plays mostly accurate representations of football and baseball.
Outside of Blitz, yeah.
Taken for granted. I assume you play Madden.
A little bit.
Okay.
I haven't played as much of it as in the past. I prefer to watch football as opposed to actually play it on the games, and I think that's got more to do with the fact that I like the strategy.
Football is a much more complicated sport than baseball, at least in terms of deciding what plays to do every...
Oh, yeah, football is very complicated.
You say that, and I can't tell whether or not you're serious.
No, I'm serious. Okay. I'm being serious. Football is an extremely complicated sport, which is why, you know, you don't see a lot... every person who's supposed to be a can't-miss prospect come up and instantly succeed in the NFL.
Well, I think part of that is sports are inherently random. Some of it's skill, some of it is, does this guy choose to go left or right? If he chose right, you're sacked. So yeah, I don't really care for sports games in general.
Yeah, neither do I. I got Madden 2013 because I wanted it, but I only played it for a little bit before discarding it.
At my house. just to reiterate that.
Reiterate.
Yeah?
It's reiterate.
Just saying, man.
G.I. Joe!
Hey, remember one thing. I'm the one with the piece of paper. I can say it however the hell I want.
That's not actually how it works. You're the one with the piece of paper, so you should be the one who knows better.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, until you have a PhD, that piece of paper, then you can say it however you want. Until then, you're held to a higher standard than the rest of
now,
us.
Now, if I have a PhD, that just means I can't write.
Well,
my handwriting is terrible.
Well, yes, but then you have the authority to say, I researched this, and it's actually pronounced this way.
So this is random, but
anyway.
I remember the other thing I was going to say about what I've been playing.
Oh?
I went to my brother's house last night, and he has Awesome Knots for the PS3, so we played a bunch of that.
Oh, how's that?
Pretty good. It's a much better console MOBA than Lord of the Rings Guardians of Lord of the Ringsland. Like, way better.
Guardians of Lord of the Ringsland.
That's what they call that place, right?
Oh, yeah,
totally.
Definitely.
Yeah, Lord of the Ringsland. So yeah, Awesome Knots was pretty good. It was not amazing, but I could see getting really into it. Unfortunately, it really just made me want to play League of Legends, because League of Legends is the same game, but more complicated, and I'm more familiar with it.
So, okay, this is something that ostensibly we were going to talk about a while ago, but anyway, we were planning on talking about this a while ago. Different controller types, and what makes for a good controller and what makes for a bad controller for a different game and or genre. I'm a big proponent of keyboards. You're saying League of Legends is a much more complicated game. I don't know that you could make a console MOBA much more complicated than League of Legends, or even as complicated.
Unless you included a full-size keyboard with it.
Exactly. A mouse control is so precise, and there are so many more keys on a keyboard.
They tried to do that with Steel Battalion on the N64. Or not N64, Xbox, and it bombed because of the fact that the thing cost as much as the console did.
Oh, was that the one with the awesome surrounding controller thing with all the switches? See, I would have bought that were it not prohibitively expensive.
Yeah, me too.
I see what you're saying, but the thing about League of Legends, one of the things I think is good about it, you have four abilities, which are four keyboard keys, then two summoner spells, which are two more, and six items.
Okay.
You could fit that on a controller. I think you should cut down the number of items.
Isn't mouse movement
Yes.
important?
That is a thing. I don't think you could make positioning as important as it is in League of Legends.
Okay.
But Awesome Knot feels a lot more arcadey, so it...
It works with that?
Yeah, because you have control stick movement.
So, this is what I feel has been a huge failing of a lot of attempts at RTS games on consoles, is that they're way too complicated to control with not a mouse.
Actually, it's more like... It's more along the lines of selection is just a real big pain in the ass.
Exactly. Well, it takes too long.
Well, there's that, and also selecting a whole pile of units in StarCraft, which is one quick thing with the mouse, whereas marching a thing of Halo grunts across in Halo Wars, just it takes too long, and it's just too much of a pain to select them.
And you have a lot more keys, too, so you can use one to just select your army after you've hotkeyed it.
Yeah, just hotkey them and go with that, and it works much better.
I really want to see an RTS on the Wii U. I don't know if it would be good or not, but I wonder if that controller can support it. I think it's worth investigating.
It would be an interesting endeavor. I think it would have to be slightly simpler than something like StarCraft II, but I think it's feasible. I don't see any reason why not. In fact, I think you could have done it with the Wii if the pointing were accurate enough. If you had no backlights to interfere with the reading.
Yeah, I feel like accuracy was the big problem with the Wii for that. I just feel like I have more control looking on the Wii U screen, too. And so I wonder if that's part of it.
Fair enough. I was going to say, I feel like I heard this somewhere, and I'm not sure who I heard this from. It might have been Ed, who, as we all know, is a horribly reliable source of information.
With a Sega Saturn.
Yep, totally.
Unless it was the other one he had.
No, he had the one that wasn't a myth.
Okay.
Whichever one that one was.
The Dreamcast?
Was the Dreamcast the one that was a myth?
No,
the Dreamcast and the Saturn are real things.
Yes, but one's mythical because you can't ever find it, and people question whether or not it actually existed anymore. Yeah, not that one.
Okay.
Yeah, the one whichever one Space Channel 5 was on.
Listeners, you can go read the comments on our old episodes and find out, because he says, and then you can tell us which one it is in the comments.
Yeah, I'll probably just link to that episode, though. So,
cheater.
I know, right? Anyway, I think I heard from Ed that the reason that they don't do a lot of cross-platform connection between consoles and the PC, because it should be really easy. Being a programmer, I can tell you, there's no reason not to do this. I've heard the reason that they keep shooters off of PC environments, especially Call of Duty, which shared the exact same engine between the Xbox and the PC, is because aiming is so much easier with the mouse.
Yeah.
And the PC players would dominate the controller, the Xbox controller players.
Well, yeah, there was some concern with MMOs, too, because you could do macros on a computer and have everything with one button press. But you can't do that on a PC, or on a console.
Indeed. That brings up the question, should there ever be cross-platform compatibility for a game? if mouse controls are so much more precise. I prefer a controller in my hands, even though I feel that I have more precision with WASD and mouse. Why do we prefer controllers to straight-up keyboard-mouse system?
I think because they're simpler. A keyboard is almost always going to have more keys than you can actually use in a game. I mean, World of Warcraft, you use a huge number of abilities, but it still doesn't tax a keyboard to capacity.
That is true. The DC Online...
DC, yeah. That's what it's called.
Is it just DC Online?
Yeah.
That MMO, I really like playing that with the 360 controller over the keyboard controls.
So do I, but it was built for a console, so I think that's why.
That's probably part of it. Basically, anytime I can, I prefer to use it, but if I'm playing TF2 or something, I cannot snipe. I get dominated because I can't move the cursor fast enough.
Well, you're also just really bad at most shooters in the first place.
So you say that. I'm really good at PC shooters, though. I just suck with controllers and accuracy. I feel like controllers are not accurate enough for me.
It's because...
Because your pop filter's fault.
Totally beat us at all in Counter-Strike or Counter-Strike.
Yep, 10 years ago.
Hey.
Sure is an accurate representation.
Yes, it is.
Well, a mouse is a lot more... you can move it more quickly, and it's more precise. The control sticks are slower. Even if you have your scroll speed at max on a controller, you still can't go up and down as fast as a mouse can. It's just a matter of what the implement is. But the control sticks are simpler, and I feel a bit more natural.
Yeah, I would argue that they're a bit more natural. I'm wondering if we could test this in some manner for science. Get a bunch of people who are naive to both systems of control and see which one they have a better time with.
Good luck. That's not going to happen.
Why not?
I don't think you're going to find anybody who would be willing to be a part of a study like that that hasn't had experience with either mouse or a controller.
But pharmaceutical drugs that are experimental and might kill you, I bet there are tons of people with no experience in that we can find to test them.
Exactly.
So basically we'll get them high off their asses so they don't remember whether or not they've done either of these things.
Ah, that's what it was called.
Is that what you've been looking up this entire time? In case you're wondering why Zach hasn't been talking, it's because he's been on his damn phone.
Yes, I was looking up that game. I couldn't remember the title of it.
What was that game?
The Biggs.
Oh.
That's a mediocre title for a game at best.
Well, yeah, I didn't say it was a good title. I said I couldn't remember what it was called.
Fair enough.
And there was a reason, because it had a dumb name.
Well, the name's kind of terrible, but the game was fun.
So this branches into a whole other subset of things that have nothing to do with video games, but what makes a good title? We're not going to talk about that now, but ponder that, dear listeners.
Tell us in the comments. Man of Steel, terrible movie, but does it have a good title?
No.
Yeah, I think it's all right. So. But that's probably because Man of Steel is iconic for Superman, so again, brand recognition. All over that.
Just like last week's episode.
Just like last week's episode. People do things for money if they're trying to make money.
Yeah, but I feel like Superman money. Is more marketable than Man of Steel.
Fair enough, but if you just called it Superman, people would be like, well, that's a little on the nose there, don't you think?
Or they would start referencing the other Supermans that have already been released.
I actually heard something to the effect that Man of Steel was specifically being marketed to evangelical Christians for some reason.
It's got a lot of Christ imagery that I really noticed the second time through. It was subtle enough that the first time I watched it, I saw some of it, but it was like, oh, Superman has always got a bit of a Christ figure thing going on. But yeah, they hammer it into you, I noticed.
Yeah, I didn't notice it at all, but he's already pretty much an allegory for Jesus.
Well,
so.
He didn't start that way.
Maintaining my stance that he is the blandest character on the face of the earth.
And you're just...
Jesus a bland character?
No, Superman, not Jesus. Jesus sounds like he might have been pretty bland too, but that's an entirely different topic.
The other thing I didn't notice the first time, and I'm curious if you did, all the product placement. Especially the battle for Sears.
Oh, God. Okay, yes, I did notice some of it. I didn't notice as much of it as the other people I saw the movie with, but the one scene in particular that was so out of place, actually the line of dialogue to get this in there jarred me so much I didn't notice it, but there's a scene where Zod is basically hacking the world telecommunications system. And he's like, hey, we want Superman, yo. And Lois holds up her phone, and she's like, it's in the RSS feed!
Yeah, that was terrible. It wasn't Lois, it was the other chick.
Oh,
but yeah,
was it?
It was terrible.
Yeah, Sam, that's not how that works. And
no,
I got more distracted by that, because the rest of the movie had just ignored everything up until that point. Everyone else I was watching the movie with instead noticed that she was holding a Nokia phone. I noticed that she's like, it's the RSS feeds! So.
Well, I noticed the
speaking
7-Eleven
of RSS feeds,
destroyed.
We do have one.
We do. More of you have been clicking on it, apparently. We have slightly more people now, according to our feed statistic things.
Back to names. You know what is a good name for a game?
Nokia.
Yeah. Bases Loaded.
That's actually a pretty good name for a game.
Yeah, for this kind of game, that actually is a decent name.
It would be better if it was like Mutant League Hockey and it was a game where you had guns and played
baseball. I loved Mutant League, the Mutant League games. They need to release them again.
Mutant League Baseball. That sounds amazing.
Mutant League Football is awesome because it's like, all right, I got the handoff and he's on a breakaway up to the... And he just stepped on a landmine.
See, I want them to call it Bases Reloaded, though.
Okay, that would be pretty awesome.
No, that's what he called the sequel.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that? He catches the ball, and he's running, and he's on fire! And he burned to death before he got to the finish line.
Well, if it's a pop fly, he still get the out.
That is true.
As long as he catches it.
So you need a lot of relief pitchers. Unfortunately, that is not what Bases Loaded is. It's a rather standard baseball simulator that's actually really complex for the NES. You've got a lot of control over where pitches go, and
how fast. And to some extent, fielding's not bad, although I think the other co-hosts disagree with me on this.
I do disagree with you.
You can't really tell how high in the air a ball is, so you don't really know where to position. The more I played, the more I got used to it and started to get okay at it.
I agree with that.
You can't tell which guy you're on.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that there's no... So...
I'm the guy closest to the ball, which I agree is a poor way to do it.
Well, that's
not... You can tell.
That's fine to move you to that, because that's what a lot of games do. There needed to be an indicator.
Exactly. There needed to be like
a little
arrow over your head.
That says this is where you are, or an arrow or something. You know how every good game has done it since.
I agree, but that didn't bug me.
There were a lot of times where I had the second baseman running out to the center field, and the center fielder running for basically the same spot, and I wasn't sure which one of them I had control of, and missed the ball a couple times because of it. It's not a huge problem, but it is definitely something that...
Well, that, to be honest, that happens sometimes in modern day games. If it is hit just the exact right place for No Man's Land.
Right in between two people, then you don't know which one you get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've noticed that problem in every baseball game
but
I've played.
Simply a blinking indicator saying, hey, you're this guy right now, I think would have solved this problem for me. So.
That's true.
The thing that I got irritated about was that it didn't seem like the AI knew where it was supposed to go.
I didn't have a problem with that. In fact, I let the AI do a lot of the fielding for me until it actually picked up the ball, because they seemed more accurate about the placement than I did. So,
yeah, I had no problem with the AI at all.
Although, so something you can do while you're pitching. Okay, so I guess we should explain this really quick. It works like baseball. You got offense and defense. Defense, you're basically just the pitcher.
Until the ball is hit, and then you field.
Yeah, the pitching is actually fairly complicated, and I actually got pretty good at it after a while. You can target one of nine spots, basically, and throw at one of three speeds.
And then you can also curve it if, during the pitch animation, you choose another spot. He'll start throwing to the first spot, and then the ball will curve to the second.
It's really a pretty complex pitching system. And given that the batting system is basically reciprocal of this, where you have to guess which of the nine slots it's going to go into, and then also time it right, it makes for a pretty decent facsimile of actually pitching.
It's really hard to hit the ball, which is accurate, but not necessarily fun.
No, I had a really hard time actually hitting the ball well.
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of future games just made it so all you had to do was get the timing right.
Really? Does that obviate all your skill in pitching, then?
No.
No. I was going to say, Mario Super Slugger is the other baseball game I've played the most. You don't have to control where you're hitting at all. You can crowd the plate, so there's a little of a... horizontal.
Okay. So you're still trying to hit it with the end of the bat, then.
Yeah.
But, okay.
And in the real baseball
game... there's no up and down.
Yeah, the real baseball games that I've played, usually you just got to get the... If you can get both sets of timing right, which is, you know, the step and then the actual hit dictates on how hard you hit it, as well as the exact timing. Like, if they're pitching outside and you're a little early, so you start to pull the ball, you'll not get as much power as if you were on time.
Fair enough.
A little later and hitting it into the opposite field.
You know, I actually find actually playing baseball, you don't really have to worry a whole lot about vertical placement in actual baseball either, because generally it's outside of your strike zone if it's too far vertically.
If it's too far up or down or horizontal, it's going to be out of the zone anyway.
Yeah, but your bat is longer horizontally when swinging than it is vertically, which I think is why it tends to translate fairly well. This game did not do a super great job about that. There are definitely some times where you're, like, swinging it like a golf club, and that's how you actually hit the ball.
Yeah.
So. I've seen players do that. I've seen players 9-iron one into the stands.
That's actually fairly amusing.
Well, yeah, it's like a pitch at their shins, and they manage to get enough on it to put it in the seats.
Coincidentally.
But only the best hitters can do that.
The second game I played of this, the only way they ever scored was getting home runs, and they only ever did it when they hit it like a golf ball.
Sounds like the Rockies offense.
Yeah, it was weird that whenever I would put pitches low, that's when they get home runs.
Yep, I actually found that the best way to ensure that they didn't manage to hit it into the field, basically, was to throw it high, and they tended to just pop it into, what do you call the inside, the diamond area?
The infield?
Do you just call it the infield and the outfield? Oh, yeah. Yes, you do! Okay, this just occurred to me.
Tyler learned sports. Da 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 da.
It's more that I remembered sports. Just I used like, to play baseball for a while.
Just like the guy on first base is called the first baseman.
Yeah, well, no, I got that. Okay, fielding mechanics. You press the direction of the base you want to throw to and throw.
Yep.
Nothing huge there.
I had problems throwing to second base. My guys just wouldn't. They're like, second and third base are the same thing, right?
I couldn't get my guys to throw in anything but first base.
So while you're pitching, though, you have the option to try to pick someone off while they're leading off the base, but I don't know that you can actually lead while you're at bat, so...
Yeah, I didn't find any way to steal bases while I'm at bat.
You can definitely, you have some control over who's running and where while the ball's in play. Is that what that's called?
Yes.
After you hit it, it's in play?
As long as it's not foul.
Okay, that's what I thought. Can you catch it before it goes foul?
Yes.
Yes, if it's in the air and you catch it, it's
an that's
out.
An out.
Even, yeah, even if it goes foul.
If actually. It would have landed foul, then
if you catch it, it's an out.
Okay.
That's kind of how baseball is. If you catch it before it hits the ground, no matter where it is, it is an out.
That's what I thought. You
or
can't do that in
this game.
It doesn't
hit anything else, because if it hits the scoreboard and bounces back in and you catch it before it hits the ground, it's not an out.
But you can pick people off, and that's mildly amusing. You can control your runners to some extent. Generally, the ball moves way faster than people can run, and until they throw it. At which point, it goes way slower than people run, and it's weird.
Yeah, the physics are a bit off. That said, I'm really impressed with how complex this game is as a simulation of baseball. A lot of the stuff in it is still used in modern baseball games. The controls of, you know, button plus throw to control what base you're throwing to.
Well, that's a pretty decent abstraction of how it would actually work. If you're thinking about it, you're like, okay, I'm going to throw to this one over here. Really, how are you going to get much better at that with a controller where you can't actually, like, place a... throw back to the infield.
Some modern ones, like the one that's on the 360 that I played, the 2K12, I believe is the one I'm playing, it uses the second control stick. So if you push up to a certain level, like there's a level of where the actual good throw is, if you get above it, you're probably going to throw it away or get an error. But
okay.
You're usually directing it to whichever base you're trying to throw. Like right is the first base, left is third base, up is second base, and down is home.
So it just occurred to me, I'm not sure if this would actually work in theory, or it works in theory. I'm not sure how this would actually play out. Like, if you went into third-person control of every single player you were playing as, so as you're the fielder, the guy closest to the ball, you go into, like, over-the-shoulder mode as you catch the ball.
There is a mode like that, but it's specifically one player.
Okay. That seems like it would be disorienting after a while anyway, and probably not as... At that point, it becomes less abstract and less fun as a game, I think.
Yeah. And while I've said a lot of good things about this game, I didn't think it was very fun, which is the main problem with it. One thing that is weird about it, you don't do anything when you're running, other than you can control it, but when you're running like from home to first and it's an infield hit, you can't do anything. And I think like hitting A to run rapidly would have been good just as something to do.
Yeah, just a little bit of engagement. It's really sad when you accidentally bunt, and then you're, like, running, and you're like, I'm gonna get out. There's nothing I can do about it. You just have to wait for it to happen.
It's the same as in, like, Pokemon. Hitting down and B doesn't do anything, but you do it, damn it, because you feel like you're being active.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
Oh, it's supposed to be down and B? I just hit B.
Well, it's also supposed to be down and A or up and B. There are a lot of different theories circulating.
None of them actually work.
Exactly. But... I was gonna say, in the Pixelmon mod, I played a little bit of it right before I left. It takes for freaking ever to capture the goddamn Pokemon. It goes wiggle, wiggle, and then waits for like 30 seconds before wiggling.
But that's not why the game isn't fun. That's just one observation I had. Like I said, the hitting is really hard, so you can't really score. And every time I played, there was just one inning where the opposition was like, and now you can't pitch. And they would get like 24 runs. And sometimes it was the first inning. Sometimes it was the eighth. It seemed random.
I never really had this happen. But, I don't know, say I... like this game, I don't think I'm ever going to play it again, though.
Oh, yeah. Tell no.
No.
I might play it when we play baseball to compare, or another baseball game.
It was not worth the $5 I paid for it.
No, and that's actually, I have a slight problem with the Wii Virtual Console charging as much as they do for some of their games. Holy crap, these games are not worth that much money.
Though at least it's a standardized cost. I agree with you that Yoshi's Cookie is worth like 30 cents, not $5.
Exactly, whereas Chrono Trigger's arguably potentially worth more than the $8 they're asking for it.
Although they made a DS version that does cost more than those $8.
Indeed, I should pick that up for $15 one day.
Yeah, I got it for free because my friend loaned it to me and then moved.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Now, Bases Loaded, I think it's trying too hard to simulate without the technology to simulate well. I think more modern baseball games do the simulation part better, and have done so many of them that they walk the line between abstraction and simulations perfectly.
Well, that's one benefit to releasing what is effectively a $60 roster update every year.
True, lots of money to work with development.
I'll acknowledge it. I buy them every 2 years, but I'll acknowledge that basically all I'm doing it for is a roster update, not an update to the gameplay.
Yeah, of they course. Do change the gameplay slightly, though.
Well,
right?
I mean, how much are you going to be able to change the gameplay? Baseball's been around for over 100 years. With basically the same rules. I mean, you're not going to change a whole lot unless you're going to do something wild and out of the box, like home run pinball.
Yeah, but video games haven't been around that long, and there's always a better way to do something, even if we haven't found it yet.
Except
I cry, you are probably right.
No, I feel like I don't know what you would do differently, because you can't change it too much, because then you're alienating all your old players at the expense of, or for the purpose of trying something new, but it may not actually pan out, and yeah, I don't know. There's a fine line to walk there. I don't know how much you can actually change between each iteration without losing your fan base. Actually, I feel like some games did that, although I can't cite any offhand.
Sonic.
Yeah. Sonic. Mega Man tried it with Legends, although they also went back to 2D pretty quickly. Prime, arguably, for the Metroids, was really different.
Yeah, that's actually a really good one. A lot of people who like Metroid hated Prime. I loved it. So, I don't really know what the divide is there, but...
I hated Prime, but Prime hated me, too.
I don't quite understand that whole thing, but maybe that's because I don't become extremely attached to individual franchises. I'm willing to give everything a shot, no matter what it looks like, even if it's got something reskinned on it.
Pretty much.
May criticize because you're just reskinning something, but I'm still willing to give it a shot.
What if the next Halo, they took out all the guns and added RPG elements?
And then call that official canon.
And that was Halo 5.
Granted, that's pretty drastic. Even Metroid Prime wasn't that big a departure from regular Metroid games, but...
I'd probably complain, probably bitch and moan, and wonder why they didn't create something else, because that would have been easier. But I'd still probably try it.
Part of the thing with the old franchises is they had to endure the transition from 2D to 3D, which was a huge thing.
And some of
them
didn't make
it. And so a lot of them feel like, okay, we made that jump, so what can't we do?
Well, you can't do a lot. You aren't nearly as good as you think you are.
Yeah, you.
Take that, you. Defeated.
Well, no, it's just, I think there's a lot of franchises who think they're a lot better and a lot better and a lot, you know, bigger money than they actually are.
Like Fresh Gears Bandicoot. Of War. Oh, yeah. Gears of War is a pretty good example. That's a pretty mediocre game.
Although I've heard only good things about the newest Gears of War.
Okay, other than me, have you heard anybody say really anything bad about any of the other Gears of War?
Me.
Have you played the new one?
No.
Fair enough.
I watched an hour-long Let's Play of it, and it looked pretty good.
The other ones look alright.
There's nothing
wrong with how they look.
Okay. It had a cool mechanic I like, where each level had an optional challenge that was storyline justified as, you know, this was taken out of the official records, but it's what happened.
No, I like that idea. I had it constantly advertising a survival mode or something.
Horde mode?
Yeah. That was really bloody annoying because I had no plans on purchasing the game, and all I wanted to do was watch Atop the Fourth Wall, but...
you gotta watch those ads.
Yep.
Support your internet video producers.
Yep, definitely.
I skip them.
Now, I have Adblock turned off on sites that I frequent.
So do I.
Because that is actually how they generate some of their revenue, and a lot of people try to...
All of their revenue in a lot of cases.
Well, yeah, it depends on whether or not they're trying to do it as a business. Okay, so speaking of webcomics, this is kind of a tangent. Mega Tokyo is still going.
Yeah, I still read it. There's like, he hasn't updated in about 2 months because he just had heart surgery.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, I was surprised to see that it was still going because I haven't read it in years and went to check it and like, this is a fairly recent update. The hell.
Yeah.
Well, heart surgery is one of those good reasons for not updating something for a while.
There actually was an update like 3 days ago, but it was a not official one. It was not canon. It was a, like, here's some art. I'm still alive.
So it's a dead Puro day. Except
I made it.
So this is kind of related to baseball and terrible simulations, and potentially good simulations. How much simulation should there be in a game?
Only as much as makes the game fun.
Fair enough.
I'm with Jeremy on that. It's kind of an abstract number. Now, no matter how much simulation you put in Train Simulator, I'm still not going to have fun with Train Simulator.
Train Simulator, bitch, watch the train go. Have you guys seen that video? We need to link that video.
I will find it, and well, I will link it.
It very much depends. Some people who play Madden, a lot of people I think who play Madden, they play it because it is the 33rd franchise. It has all the same, like, game film and whatnot that all the other franchises get. So they play it because of the heavy, heavy simulation aspects to it.
That is true. And actually, as I was thinking about this, this kind of bleeds over into tabletop games, and some people prefer less simulation and some people prefer heavy number crunching. So
I'm stuck with a group of people who hate number crunching and abstract games.
I love abstract games.
Yeah, I prefer abstract games.
Or no, I'm stuck with a group of people that loves abstract games. That's the problem.
That's the problem?
Yes.
What about Cody? He likes rolling dice, I think.
Cody has a character?
Yeah, there's that,
oh,
too.
Right. Yeah.
It's weird to me that as a literature person who likes books...
He doesn't listen to this. We can make fun of him all we want.
...degree, you prefer games that simulate reality rather than games that simulate narrative.
Well, remember, I play games very rule-heavy. I GM games...
Like a
boring
hypocrite.
...most of them. Yes, I am a hypocrite when running games because I run them very differently than I play in them.
No, I tend to fall in that same line. I like games that have only as many rules as are necessary to prevent the players from flying off in a burst of magic rainbow dust. And
I flap my arms and fly away.
I think video games should work that way too. I think that there's a fine. Every game is a simulator of some sort. It's just how heavy on simulation are you?
Games have to be a lot more rule heavy than RPGs.
They have to, if only by virtue of programming
yes,
them. So
you have to program how you move. And if you want them to be able to fly, you have to program that ability in.
Yep, that's very true.
And I admire Dwarf Fortress and its, you know, desire to simulate everything.
Yeah, it's really ambitious, and it's in fact so ambitious and such an interesting concept that I really want to play it.
But at the same time, there have been updates that made that game less fun. When they went from hit points to the full medical thing, that made the game a little bit less fun. Part of that was now you have to worry about getting splints and bandages, and that's an extra resource, and you have to set up a hospital, and you have to devote some of your valuable dwarves to being doctors.
That's
Dr. Beardy.
Yep.
Ed and I have had this conversation several times, is occasionally the guys who run Minecraft, occasionally they make a game design decision that's terrible for game design, but is more realistic or something like that. We're like, man, sometimes it makes it really obvious that you guys are just a bunch of guys who know how to program and know nothing about game design.
Realism should always bow to fun.
In a game.
I agree.
I would like realism to bow to fun in real life. Unfortunately,
fair enough.
Real life doesn't work that way.
I agree, but sometimes I think trying to be more realistic is a way to discover new ways of fun.
I agree, and it also depends on your player base. Some people have more fun with that than others.
Well, I mean, one example, I think, where you can use that realistic doesn't really fit in while you might be using it to try and explore new areas of fun is Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah,
GTA 4 went way more realistic, but it's not nearly as fun as GTA 3, where you just
or
run
Saints
around murdering
Row?
Grandmas.
Because
well, Saints Row moved in to fill that void.
Yeah, what does anybody play GTA 4? It's not to be the realistic game, alright?
No, it's you want.
I hate to tell you this, game developers. It's not because we want to play a conflicted person about what he's done in his life while he's run over 16 cops, 2 poplar trees, a street light, and a little old lady.
Well,
we want the guy to hop out of the car and go, "Damn straight, Granny! Ha ha! You got in the way of my grill!"
To play devil's advocate, though, could they have done that better than GTA 3 or Vice City? I mean, they wanted to try something new because they'd already succeeded at that. And you can still do that in GTA 4. You can still just go on a rampage. It just disincentivizes that.
I think
that's what made those games fun.
I think they went too far away from their premise, or not far enough. They went in this awkward middle ground where they were trying to do something new, but didn't want to embrace it wholeheartedly.
I think that's the worst part of it, was that they had that weird middle ground. It's like, well, we want to be a little bit more serious, but we don't want to alienate the fan base. So they kind of straddled that middle ground, which doesn't create for a good product anyway.
Go big or go back to your spawn point.
Yeah, go big or respawn.
I like that. Go big or respawn. I think that should be our new tagline.
We need that. We need that on a shirt. You know, once sometime in the far future when we're all selling LTOVG swag.
Yeah.
All right. Well, We didn't talk much about Bases Loaded, and I think it's because it's not a good game, especially by modern standards.
There's also not a whole lot to it.
It's baseball. I mean,
poorly simulated.
If you want the best baseball simulator on the NES, I think this is probably it. I didn't play baseball, so I don't know.
But the ability to place your pitches, I think, is the biggest... It blew my mind that this was on the NES.
Yeah,
so.
Me too. It was super complex and super fun. But it wasn't fun when they started suddenly hitting everything, no matter what I did. So if you're really, really into baseball games or sports games, maybe give this a look. Otherwise, skip it.
Well, if you're really, really into it, I think you've probably got 2K13, you know, all the updated ones with all the cool rosters and whatnot going at it. But if you want baseball gaming history, this is probably a good one to look into.
You know, I feel like we say this a lot on this podcast, but basically every other game that tried something similar to this since then has done it better.
Well,
so
that's because a lot of the games that we play for fun, not for the podcast, have taken and built on the things that they came up with. And therefore, they found the flaws, they built on the things that were good, and we see the polished product a lot more.
I agree, and I think this is a beautiful thing. Although there are a lot of games on the Super Nintendo that they haven't done better since, probably because they stopped making 2D platformers as the major driving line for
consoles. As they should have.
You say that.
Mega Man X is so good.
Yeah, and watch, we're going to play, and Zach's going to be like, nope.
Yeah, probably.
Terrible game.
Terrible game. Shouldn't have been made.
So, speaking of terrible games, Tyler, it's your turn to pick.
What are you going to torture us with this time? It better not be another one like Ghosts and Goblins.
Well, it's thematically similar. So I was actually looking to play Chandelar next time because Ryan suggested it, but I can't actually find it for free anywhere. The guy who made it, you can email him and he will send you a copy of it if he deems you worthy. So.
Wow, someone thinks highly of themselves.
Choose the wooden cup.
I don't know that he actually owns a copyright to it because technically Wizards does or something. But he is able to distribute it as abandonware. Anyway, I decided that was too much of a pain, and they're releasing Chandelar 2012 soon, and things.
Abandonware?
Yeah, that's basically when the developer doesn't claim copyright to it anymore.
Oh.
It's kind of like it's freeware, except not.
Freeware or shareware?
Yeah, except...
Except not.
Yeah, except the developer is like, you know, we don't even care anymore, just take it. So...
Oh, I never even heard of that.
Yeah, it's a thing. Anyway... Since we can't play Chandelar, I'm going to vote Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Trash can they were delicious. And buckets on their head. I'm telling you, we're going to need a little
Jeremy,
help
stop
tonight.
Singing.
It was originally published.
Edit me.
Yeah, fair enough.
But we have to listen to you.
Well, no, we don't. Well, I guess we do this one time. Everyone else is going to have to listen to them potentially multiple times.
Remember, I do listen to this.
You don't have to.
Fair enough.
I need you to catch your errors.
Oh, yeah. Zombies Ate My Neighbors, originally published on the Super Nintendo, available on the Wii Virtual Console.
Yep, for 800 Weemie points.
Eventually, probably also the Wii U, but not yet.
Did you just call them Weemie points?
Weemie.
Weemie. Okay, I heard Weemie.
So next time and last time, get your brains on.
And Weemie point.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. You should probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated.
That reminds me of an old commercial. It was for some kind of, what's it called? Some kind of restaurant. And the guy's like, did I leave the gas on? Turns around because it's a chef. And, no, it's off. And then the guy's house explodes. It was better visually.
I could see that. So mildly amusing as a concept.